Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Our conversation today will, I think, directly affect, 40%, maybe 60% of our audience. So looking forward to having you stick around today, because, and actually maybe many more, certainly are aware of what's going on in our culture today regarding blended families. That is going to be our focus today. But even though there's a blending, there can also be blessing. We're going to talk about a special event, a one-day event coming up this weekend to hear more about that. I'm Neil Stavem. Great to have you along. Happy Monday to you, Ted.
Good afternoon.
I came across this quote. We're talking about blended families. Someone said, "My life has a superb cast, but I just can't figure out the plot."
Which sums it up well.
Maybe marriage in general. And someone else has said, "No man is truly married until he understands every word his wife is not saying." All right. Well, we'll find out about that. Family Life Blended is specialized in family ministry, strengthen step families, help church leaders launch local ministries that nurture godly homes. And they've created Blended and Blessed to come alongside and support this local ministry in your church. It's a one-of-a-kind innovative event. Provides high-quality teaching and inspiration to couples and encourages them to connect to churches like yours for ongoing support. And we're going to hear more about Blended and Blessed just ahead today. Do want to just mention that this event's coming up here on the 29th, so the end of the week. Do want to mention that coming up in July, we've still got some time, but want to let you know that the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference will be taking place here Saturday, July 15, and that promises to be a significant time. If you've got any inkling at all about pursuing a writing opportunity, then this would be a great place to come.
We have publishers there. You may have a chance to meet with some of them and pitch your ideas and just learn how to write a book. If you've been thinking about it, this could be a really great opportunity.
Or maybe for you it's going to be magazine articles blogging online. Just a lot of great opportunities. Liz Curtis-Hagan is the keynote speaker. We've got experts, great breakout sessions, one-on-one opportunities, and just to rub shoulders with people that understand that world. So check it out, myfaithradio.com. We've got a link there, and we'll get you started in the Writers Conference, the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference coming up this summer. All right. Speaking of writers, one of our favorite writers and broadcasters, in fact, he started doing broadcasting not that long ago and is just a natural at it. Ron Deal is the director of Family Life Blended. It's a ministry of family life, and he's the author and co-author of books like The Smart Step Family and The Smart Step Dad and The Smart Step Mom and Dating and The Single Parent and The Smart Step Family Marriage. And Ron voices the Family Life Blended radio feature. And is one of the most widely read authors on step-family living in the country, licensed marriage and family therapist. And we are honored every time we have a chance to talk with him. Ron, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Hey, Neil. It's really good to be back with you. Thanks for having me today.
We want to talk about this great outreach called Blended and Blessed coming up on the 29th. But, maybe we should talk about a little statistics first. I mean, the reality is that some sort of blending is going on in an awful lot of families in our country today.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier 40% of families, parents raising children, 40% of them are in a blended family situation. There's a step-parent, step-child relationship somewhere in the mix. A lot of people are surprised to hear that. That's a pretty high percentage. And it's like, it's been growing over the last couple of generations in our culture, and blended families certainly aren't new. All you got to do is go back to the Old Testament, and you'll find a whole bunch of them. But just in terms of the numbers increasing, it's pretty dramatic. Just not too long ago, we released a new number. It's kind of a compilation of statistics, but we're now saying 113.6 million people in the U.S. have a step relationship of some kind. They can reach out and touch a step parent, a step sibling, or a step child. That's a third of the U.S. population. And we're just simply saying, hey, it's a lot of people, a unique family situation. And just like all families, need a little support, education along the way to help prevent problems, but really just help step families be homes where God is honored and faith is passed from one generation to the next.
We're going to talk more about how that can happen, but just to maybe say a word right up front about the Blended and Blessed event coming up this weekend, because it's an all-day event, but people obviously don't have to go to Little Rock to be a part of it, right? There's a web opportunity.
That's right. This is a live stream event, and if you're like me, you go, what's a live stream? I've had to learn, you know? I'm a little too old for this. But no, it's using the internet. We're simply telecasting this event over the internet. So currently we have people in all 50 states and 23 countries registered to be a part of this. We're just really excited. This is the first time ever that anybody, secular or Christian faith-based, has ever put together an event like this for couples in blended families, for single parents, for church leaders, people who want to understand blended families. If you know or love somebody in a blended family and you just want to learn more about it, maybe you're a step-grandmother and you're thinking, what is my role? What do I do? How do I help my son and stepchildren? You can be a part of this. You just go to the website. It tells you how to register. It's free, completely free. We have churches that are hosting this for groups of couples. It's free. The whole event is free. And it's as simple as turning on your mobile phone and going to the internet or turning on your computer and watching, just like you stream a movie over iTunes. It's that simple, and we're just really excited about it.
Well, check it out, blendedandblessed.com. Spell it out, blendedandblessed.com, and you can find out how to get plugged in. We'll talk a little bit more about that with Ron Deal. Ron, I know one of the key issues, I guess, is that you know, obviously blended families come for several reasons, but the divorce is certainly one that is prominent. And in fact, I know that, you know, step couples also face the real possibility of divorce at a higher rate than first time marriages. Let's jump in and talk about that. Why is that?
Well, I mean, it's a number of reasons, I think. But if I were to boil it down, I would simply say that there's some dynamics that take place in blended families that catch people by surprise. As we like to say, love and hope has brought a couple together. They certainly have a vision for merging their families, blessing the children in the process of that merger, if you will. And yet, once they start the merger, you know, real life is complicated. And those complications create stress, and that stress pulls against the marriage. And so I could just give you a quick example and say, you know, parenting is different. Being a step-parent is different than being a biological parent. You have some built-in authority and relationship when you're a biological parent, because these are your children. They're all you know. You are all they know. There's built-in authority to that. You're the mom or the dad, period, end of story. Everybody gets that. But when you come in as a stepmom or stepdad, you know, they don't know you. You don't know them. You're trying to figure out how to get along, how to like each other, what you have in common, let alone figure out how to have authority in their life. So that's a very different process and dynamic that creates stress. What if the step parent and the biological parent then disagree about how the step parent should go about doing parenting? Now, all of a sudden, what was a parenting issue is a marital issue. And so you can see pretty quickly how things ripple, how they just move throughout the home. And when couples get caught off guard by that, they're just not sure what to do, that leads to a high degree of distress. And that contributes to a higher divorce rate. We help couples make sense of that, get their heads around what is going on with us, realize that, yeah, there's some different things here. Here's how you manage that. Here's how you work together. Here's how you come together in spite of your differences or the stress that this creates, so that you don't become another statistic. And that's really the heart of what we do.
You said, you know, when it comes to parenting, if the spouses don't agree, it seems like that if is probably pretty big, because probably even in a first marriage, spouses don't always agree when it comes to parenting. I mean, that's a pretty big issue, isn't it?
It is. I mean, every parent listening to you just said amen to what you just said. Because, yeah, parenting is a challenge. I mean, I've often said, if if we really knew what was ahead of us, we would never have children. You know, it's a huge act of faith. And we jump in, and day after day, we're thinking, man, what do we do this, situation, or this choice, or this decision, or how do we respond to that thing that our kid just, threw on the table? And yes, husbands and wives disagree about parenting. What they often have, though, behind the scenes is this huge confidence. I mean, rarely do you see, let's say a mom is coming to her husband. They're raising their biological children, okay, first marriage. And she may disagree with something dad said or did, but what she doesn't do is question his heart about it. She believes his motivation was good and pure. The reason you did that, grounded our son for a year and a half, was that you believed that somehow that would be a blessing to his life, right? She assumes the best from his heart. What we find with stepfamily couples is sometimes there's a question there, right? The biological mom comes to the stepdad and says, okay, you grounded my kid for a year and a half. I don't agree with a year and a half, and I think you did that because you don't like my son. But see, now we have another issue that is far more important than even how long he's grounded for. Now it's, I'm not sure I trust you with my child. And those are the kinds of things that complicate the parenting unity collaboration process. And so, again, there's some traps there that we help people know what that is and avoid it as best they can.
Well, before we take a break, just follow up a little bit more. For the step parent, is it just building and maintaining a relationship? Is that really all that they can hope for? Or can they get to the point where they are maybe providing, some discipline and correction? I mean, is that even realistic to consider?
Yeah, it is. A great question. I love to say it this way. Some step parents will find that with some stepchildren, they have a tremendous relationship over time, a tremendous amount of influence that you are, much like there are adoptive parents that many people are more familiar with that sometimes. There are adoptive parents that have wonderful relationship with their adopted children, but they got there over time. There are some adoptive parents that have had strained relationships with their adopted children for one reason or another. I think the same is true with step-parenting. Again, it's a journey. It's a process to develop and change and grow and deepen the relationship. Some step-parents can get to a tremendous place with their stepchildren. Other step-parents will just have a difficult relationship or a distant relationship at best. Let's say you marry somebody and they have a 30-year-old child. Well, you're never going to be a parent to that adult 30-year-old child. You might end up being friends. And in that case, learning how to be friends is probably the best goal to shoot for. But you're not going to have this deep parent-child relationship because that's not needed. And so it really depends upon the child, the context, how much time you have together, their age, what happened before you showed up, and then what the opportunities are in the future.
Practical, encouraging advice today with Ron Deal. Ron, director of Family Life Blended. It's a ministry of family life, and he's authored or co-authored several books, including The Smart Step Family and The Smart Step Family Marriage and The Smart Stepdad, The Smart Stepmom, and Dating and the Single Parent. And maybe you have some questions about any of those related topics as we've been discussing. You're welcome to join us. We'll open up the phone lines for your calls at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, or you can submit your question online if that's more convenient. If you go to myfaithradio.com, you can click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there you can use to submit your question. As we talk more with Ron Deal coming up in a moment, there's a special free event coming up this Saturday called Blended and Blessed. You can look for that, blendedandblessed.com. You'll find some hope and encouragement at whatever stage or phase of relationship you're in. We're going to talk more about it. The blended families is the topic today on Connecting Faith. Blended families today, step family, step children, all those things with Ron Deal today. Ron is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and he's director of Family Life Blended. It's a ministry of family life. You hear him on the broadcast, Family Life Blended. It's a short little radio feature we carry here on Faith Radio, and he's authored several books. And I always love chatting with him today, and our phone lines are open. We want to talk blended families with Ron Deal today, getting some wise advice. There's a blended and blessed one-day session, encouragement, a free outreach, I guess you could call it that way, just lots of opportunity to grow in your understanding and how to maybe more effectively relate to your blended family relationship, of which there are millions. And you can find out more about that online, blendedandblessed.com. Ron, I'm just curious, is there maybe one tension point or complaint that maybe you hear about or see more often among blended couples and families? Is there kind of one that rises to the top more often than not?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. One of them is the flashpoint of parenting and step-parenting. And we, you know, mentioned that briefly in the last segment. It's just easy for those things that are parenting issues to kind of ripple back into the marriage and divide the couple. But another one that is pretty insidious, to be honest, has to do with ex-spouses. And this one is multi-layered. Like, so somebody, if they were divorced, they have an ex-spouse and they share children. And so you have to maintain a co-parenting relationship because you're raising children. And that means cooperation, hopefully, between homes. If not, then there can be conflict, right, between the ex-spouses. And that always ripples into somebody's mood, right? If your ex-husband or ex-wife causes you a lot of distress every time you try to talk about a parenting issue, then that puts you in a bad mood when you get ready to deal with your current spouse or deal with your stepchildren or what have you. And so that creates some difficulty. And for kids, if there's a high degree of stress between their biological parents who are divorced, and the kids get caught in the middle of that, and they get, you know, carry on some sadness or depression or sorrow about it, or just kind of sometimes kids get withdrawn because they're just trying to stay out of the way of the conflict between their parents, and they take on some of that tension, right? And then that affects their mood and who they are and whether or not they can receive a step-parent into their world, right? If my biological mother is giving me signals not to get too close to my stepmother, then out of loyalty to my mom, I don't, right? So then I've got to cop an attitude with my stepmom. Well, that creates tension over there, and that ripples into now my dad is mad at me. And so, you know, there's just a lot of potential points for conflict to erupt, and then it ripples into other parts of the family. And so I find that ex-spouse one is often a topic that we have to spend some time working through.
And does a wife tend to have different issues than her husband regarding maybe those points of contention?
Well, I'm not sure much that it's wife versus husband. You know, sometimes there's matters of the heart. Sometimes a new spouse is concerned that the reason, you know, you cooperate so much with your ex is because you're still maybe longing for some relationship, maybe holding on to something there. So sometimes there's a question of can I trust you as it relates to your ex? But most of the time, it's just we see things differently. We want to parent this way. They want to parent that way. We're trying to put forth godliness in our home, and maybe the other home does a little but not much, or not the way you would, or maybe they just don't espouse a Christian belief system at all, right? So then all of a sudden there's this huge dramatic difference between how life works in the other home and how life works in our home. And so there's tension around that. There's, you know, there's just all those potential flashpoints. I do think being a stepmom is different than being a stepdad in a couple of ways. There's uniquenesses on both ends. For example, you know, stepdads, you know, trying to live up to their biblical call to be a servant leader in the home and certainly communicate a direction for the home and godliness and setting a tone for the home and just saying, you know, hey, we're going to follow God here and I'm going to be the first example of that, but I'm inviting you and the rest of the family to go in that direction too. But sometimes as a stepdad, you can't quite pull that off because people won't follow your lead. And so what do you do? Right? So there's some challenges around that role. Being a stepmom, I think, has its own unique challenges in that, you know, moms have big hearts. And we all know the role of a mom. And when I say we all know, what I mean is in our culture in America, the role of a mom is to be like the hub in the middle of the wheel, right? Yeah. She knows everything that's going on with everybody. She's keeping up with everybody's schedules. She's got her own life, her own career, her own things that she's attending to for herself. But boy, is she connected to what's going on with everyone else. When a stepmom, sometimes a stepmom can play that role with stepchildren. Sometimes she can't. Sometimes they won't let her, or they just don't need her to play that role. It's not that they don't like her. It's just they don't need her. They've got a mom, perhaps. And so somebody's already playing that role for them. They don't have space for somebody else to move in. But if the stepmother doesn't realize that and she thinks her job is to become that person for them, well, then she's trying to make something happen that's never going to happen, and that's really frustrating. What's even more frustrating, one more example I'll give you is when a stepmom is also a biological mom. She knows what it is to be the hub in the middle of the wheel with her own children. She plays that role really well. It's really strange that she can't play that role with her stepchildren, right? So who am I in each moment? Am I the hub or am I not the hub? You know, some kids I am and some kids I'm not. So how do I pull that off? That's the kind of stuff that's confusing, not impossible, but just confusing. And that's why, you know, I wrote a book, The Smart Stepmom, with Laura Petrobridge, so we could help stepmothers understand what their role is and how to pull it off.
Great resource to recommend it, The Smart Stepmom, The Smart Stepdad, The Smart Stepfamily, all those resources from Ron Deal. Ron, we got just a minute before the break, or so. I know you talk about blended families, but I know you've said before that, you know, blending isn't something that's just going to happen overnight, and we'd like to push the button on the blender and see it all come together.
Yeah, we would. Just remember, blenders have blades. So anything you put in a blender is going to get chopped up if you put it on, you know, mix. So we don't recommend you use blenders. We recommend you use a crock pot to cook a step family. That's an analogy just to represent that it's slow, but it will get there. And when it does, it's really good. You know, it tastes really nice. So there's a patience with the process with crock pots. It takes hours, not seconds. And that's generally true for blended families as well. You know, we often talk about the average blended family needs somewhere between 5 to 7 years to really kind of settle their sense of familyness, a sense of identity, their sense of connection with one another. They will get there as long as you don't hit blender too much.
Good. We'll talk more with Ron Deal about the blended families, step-parenting, all those things. Ron's the director of Family Life Blended, and you hear him on the broadcast, Family Life Blended, a little radio feature. And he's with us today talking about a new opportunity to grow and understand in your blended family. Blended and Blessed is coming up this weekend. BlendedandBlessed.com is the website. Our phone lines are open, by the way. Take your calls. We want to talk with Ron about step families. We're going to talk about effective step family ministry as well. All that coming up at 877-933-2484.
It knows no boundaries, keeps no record of wrongs. It takes the good with the bad, and it fights to stay strong. This love always finds a way.
Talking blended families today, and especially emphasizing a special one-day free live event and live stream for step family couples, single parents, dating couples with kids, those who care about blended families. It's called Blended and Blessed, and it's free. You can find out more at blendedandblessed.com. Ron Deal is director of Family Life Blended. It's a ministry of family life, and he's authored several books relating to this whole growing area of step families, smart step families, smart step dad, smart step mom, dating in the single parent, the smart step family, marriage, all that. And we're talking today about how we can be more focused on working through some of these relationships as the families grow and, you know, work through some of the tension points. So we have an anonymous caller, Ron. We'll go to her. She's calling in line one. Let's take that call. We'll go to Line one from our listener. Go ahead. You're on with Ron Deal. Go ahead with your question.
Thanks. Thank you for taking my call, Ron. I have a question that has gone around and around between my husband and I. We've been married 2.5 years now with a blended family. His first wife died of cancer about 12 years ago, and I had been alone for 10 years also myself. We have 7 daughters, so that gets a little tricky. And we have one daughter in particular who has always kind of, well, she's kind of always been a little bit difficult, even, I think, growing up. My husband will even say that. But we had a major event on Christmas this year. She decided that she wasn't going to come to the house because we weren't doing Christmas the traditional way that her mom always did Christmas. We weren't going to the same church that her mom went to church with them at, because my husband and I now have gone to a different church for 2.5 years and go every Sunday, and many of the kids, unfortunately, don't go to church every Sunday or with us very often. So since Christmas, she won't speak with us. We haven't been able to really see the grandkids much unless we see them sort of later in the afternoon at the total family get-together. She's very cold. And I don't know how to handle
how
that. I feel like, you know, I can't say much.
How long have you guys been married?
2.5 years.
Yeah, and how old? How
2.5 years.
How old is your daughter, the one that you referenced here?
She's 30.
30, okay.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, let me just say I appreciate you calling. Believe it or not, this is not an uncommon dynamic. I hear this quite a bit. Adult stepchildren have just as many adjustments to make when their parent marries as minor age children do. 15 and 5-year-olds and 30-year-olds kind of have the same adjustments emotionally that they have to go through. I can guess at what her hesitation is about receiving you and receiving the new marriage and family situation, but I won't really know. The bottom line is she's resistant to it and is just saying, you know what, I'm just going to stay on the outside rather than pulling myself in. I think in your situation, the end result is very different than what we're going to have to do in the first step. The first step at this point, I think, is your husband keeping an open relationship with his daughter as best he can, keeping the lines of communication open, finding little moments to spend time with her separate and apart, most likely on, because she will insist that, separate and apart from you, from your children. And, you know, that's certainly not what you want at the end of the day, but it is the next step simply because her motivation is maintaining a relationship with her family as she defines it. And that's probably her dad, your husband, and her sisters. And so if your husband doesn't maintain a connection there, then there will just be a separation and you won't have any influence or any point of contact as a family. Your husband is the gateway to you. So if he doesn't maintain a relationship, she can never pass through the gate and even become, you know, friendly, you know, just start a relationship with you or your children. So he should try to do that. Now, does that mean you guys accommodate to every demand that she has? No, it doesn't mean that at all. As a matter of fact, there's a few times where your husband might say, you know what? Nope, somebody else is going to be there. We're going to be eating in a public place. Well, I'm going to ask you to come and be with everybody for a little while, and then you can leave if you want to. That can happen every once in a while. But right now, yeah, you're going to accommodate to some of the needs she has. What that looks like at Christmas next year, I have no idea. But what it might look like is it might look like your husband going to worship on Saturday night with her at that place because that's where mom always went, and there's a connection there to her mother, and there's something important in her grieving process, and we honor that somehow. But then your husband and you and the rest of the family has Christmas at your church at a different time. I'm not saying that's the way to handle it. I'm just saying you got to get creative in trying to figure out how to honor where you can what is keeping that 30-year-old connected to your husband, hoping that over time that eventually opens the door for her to enter in and connect with others in the family. And that's not easy. That's not fun. It's challenging to find the balance, but that's at least the possibility of moving forward.
A good word, honor where you can. I mean, that's because things are messy. There's no way of getting around that, is it?
Yeah. And really, this is about grief, would be my guess. The sadness in her heart about her mother passing. She just can't quite open herself up to the new family, to dad's new wife, to all that means. You know, I've heard so many people say, young and old alike, so many children say, well, embracing my stepmother or step-parent made it feel like we were burying mom all over again. To them, it's another reminder that mom is not here. And I don't know that that's exactly what's going on in this situation, but it could be. At least it might be a factor. And so being sensitive to that sorrow and trying to join it and allow permission for her to have those feelings is important. If we deny her those feelings, she will never be motivated to move toward a stepmom or step-siblings. Well, why would she? Those are the people who make me have to forget about my mom. No, we have to move toward the grief so that she can move through the grief.
I remember, Ron, I think our previous conversation, you've talked about that adult kids, too, that they're falling probably a couple of years behind the couple who's remarried, right?
Yeah, and again, that's true of adult children as well as minor-age children. They're at least a year or so behind in terms of emotionally being prepared to move forward into new family and new relationships. That's really important for dating couples and engaged couples to recognize. When you're ready to get married, the kids are probably a year behind you. It doesn't mean that they're going to hate the marriage. It doesn't mean that you're making a bad decision. Don't hear me say that. Just understand that your motivation is much, much greater than their motivation at the point of the wedding. So you got to have some patience. You got to understand that. And if you could slow down your dating and maybe give a little more time for them to get used to this idea before you actually get married, that's a thought to consider. And this is an easy one to miss because couples are in love. They want to be together. They have a vision for their future together. And they just assume that the children are along there with them, especially if the children are adults. Like a lot of people just really don't realize a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old is heavily invested in your life as their parent. And even though they're out of the home, got their own family, own career, they're really invested, and their sense of family identity is tied up in you. So if you go and attach yourself in marriage to somebody else, that's messing with my sense of family identity, right? Who are we now? What kind of family is this? So recognize that and try and give some consideration to their timing.
Good words. Ron, I know that Blended and Blessed is going to be focusing not only on those that are single parents or step-family couples, but you also want to talk about those that are involved in church ministries. Say a word about what an effective step-family ministry might look like in a church, and are we in general doing a good job at that?
No, we're not doing a good job. I would say marriage and family ministry in general is something that some churches do really well at addressing marriage and family matters and helping to empower families to be the faith shapers of the next generation. That's why we do marriage and family ministry. People need to understand that. We don't just do it because we want you to be happy in your marriage. Oh, that's important, but it's only important as far as it helps you then live out who God has called you to be in his kingdom as parents, as coworkers, as individuals. And so from that strong place in your marriage, now you can be better parents. The next generation is more likely to catch faith and become followers of Christ themselves, and on it goes. So that's why marriage and family ministry is important. Step family ministry is relatively new to the church, and just a few churches really across the country have small groups or an ongoing Sunday school class or something. I don't think every church has to do a small group, for example. It depends on where you are. Sometimes just change your premarital counseling so that you're preparing couples in a better way for step-family life, not just preparing them for marriage, but preparing them to be a step-family. Those are really two different things. You know, parent education can include what it is to be a step-parent, as well as single parenting, and single parents need that kind of support as well. So there's lots of little things that churches can do. By the way, we put on another event at Family Life Blended. This event will be next fall, but it's called the Summit on Step Family Ministry. And anybody who's really interested in learning more about this, it's a two-day event. This next year will be in Nashville, Tennessee in October. They can go online, familylife.com, and learn all about it. But that's an equipping event for couples, pastors, children's ministry leaders, anybody who's interested in learning more about ministering to step families. What happens this week on Saturday, this weekend, Saturday the 29th, is an enrichment event for blended family couples and single parents and dating couples. But we welcome ministry leaders to come and be a part of that so they can learn some things. We're going to, as you mentioned, talk about five keys to step family success, and we're going to unpack those in a way that I think ministry leaders will really learn a lot that will help them think about what they do in their local church and how they can make a difference for step families.
Can you give us the 60-second tease? I don't know if you can cover all five keys, or you can give us two of the five or something here in the next
minute. I can. Well, we've talked about a couple of them. We're going to talk about parenting and step-parenting and co-parenting, because that's one of those flashpoints, as we mentioned earlier. We're going to talk about building a strong marriage, because if your marriage isn't holding fast in light of all that's going on around you, it's really hard for you to get momentum as a family unit. We've got a pastor going to be talking about your spiritual life and walk with God and how that impacts your ability as a step-family to move forward. One of the things I'm really excited about, I got to tell you, is Sandy Patty, the musical recording artist. Sandy Patty and her husband Don, he is a worship pastor in Oklahoma City. They are going to be coming and talking about when God redeems your story. Now, you know, a lot of blended family stories are not because of sin, all right? Let's get that out there. But some of them are. And what do you do with that? When that's your history, how do you move forward with the comfort of God's grace? And they are going to talk about that, and I am really excited for them to be there. I'm going to spend some time helping blended families understand the journey from a high-level perspective and how you stay dedicated to the process of growing as a family. We've got worship teams. We've got dramas that are going to be there. It's really going to be a great day.
Check it out online, blendedandblessed.com, blendedandblessed.com. It's a free one-day live event and live stream, and you can find out details again online, blendedandblessed.com. Ron Deal, Director of Family Life Blended. You hear him daily on the short little broadcast, and he's on regularly here on Faith Radio, and we so appreciate that. Ron, blessings to you on this weekend and in your continued work in ministry.
Thanks, Neil, and blessings to you as well.
Great to have Ron Deal with us today on Connecting Faith, Director of Family Life Blended, the Ministry of Family Life. He's authored several books, including The Smart Step Family, The Smart Step Dad, Smart Step Mom, Dating and the Single Parent, The Smart Step Family Marriage. Check those out. Great resources that can help you out. You can always go to Family Life to find out more about Family Life Blended. All right, coming up in a moment, we continue here on Connecting Faith. We're going to deal with aches and pains, nothing to do with spouses or adult kids, although maybe they're adding to it. We'll see. But Lisa Marone joins us for her Monday Health Moment coming up just ahead. To Connecting Faith. I don't have a particularly good doctor. You know, went and talked to him the other day. I said, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this." He said, "Well, don't do that." So, no. I could use a good physical therapist like Lisa Marone, who knows how to, you know, help you work through your aches and pains, which are common from time to time. But what do you do if your aches and pains are persistent? We're going to talk about it today with Lisa Marone. That's the focus of her Monday Health Minute, and we always love the opportunity to get together with her. Lisa's a physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, is encouraging us, as always, to get healthy, for heaven's sake. And she's authored a number of books. And Lisa, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Neil, great to be with you again today.
So let's talk about those persistent aches. If we've got them, what do we do?
You know, it seems that we get them more and more as we age, don't we? You know, you kind of go to bed, you feel great, and you wake up, and you feel like someone beat you up sometimes. And so things happen as we age, and our joints are really just beautifully designed. But, you know, as part of original sin, we are designed with parts that have an expiration date. And so they do tend to start to wear out. And what we need to do ahead of the game is to really be good to our joints, so that we can make sure that we don't wear them down before they're supposed to be worn down. And so, you know, as a physical therapist, I'm always teaching my patients body ergonomics, the way that we should move, that we don't want to do repetitive activities over and over again. But what happens, Neil, when your job requires you to do repetitive things like mine does? And so my hands take a beating and my back might be overworked sometimes. And so beyond taking care of ourselves, sometimes we just need to know what to do when it hurts.
Well, and of course, I guess, you know, we know that there's various treatments. You can do heat, we can do ice. Maybe let's talk about that before we get to maybe supplements or medications. So is there a rule of thumb for heat or ice?
Well, one thing that is very important with that question with heat or ice is what has happened to your joint. So if you have, you know, tripped down a stair and twisted your ankle and your ankle is swollen, maybe it's even red. When we're looking at that situation, we want to put ice on that. That's an inflammatory condition that needs some icing for a few days. If you have pain, maybe you strained your back somewhere and you were doing some yard work and you have significant pain, then by significant, I mean on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 has you, you know, pulling into the emergency room at the hospital. I'm talking anything about a 5 or over. When you have intense pain like that, you're going to want to ice. That's going to be your best bet. That's going to take down the muscle spasm. It's going to take down the inflammation. It's going to modify the pain best. But if we have lower level aches and pains, if you're old and you know you have this arthritic knee or you have arthritis in your neck, oftentimes those pains I find in my patients are best comforted by something warm or something warm and moist. So that's how I teach my patients to decipher whether they should ice something or heat something.
So, you know, lots of pain relief medications, not all the same. Any sort of basics in terms of a primer there?
Yeah, there's another great topic right there. First of all, if you're medicating yourself, and that would mean like you're using non-prescription medications, such as Tylenol or Aleve or Motrin, there is a difference between those medicines that I also educate my patients on. I don't prescribe medication as a physical therapist. I need to make that clear. But if you take a pain reliever like Tylenol, you can take that when your pain is great. You can just say, I'll just take 2 Tylenol now, and then maybe you don't take it for a number of days. But you cannot treat Motrin or ibuprofen or Aleve the same way. Those are called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs for short. And the way that you take those effectively is you need to build up a certain level in your bloodstream, and then you need to maintain that level for at least 4 days. And so if you're going to pop Motrin like every once in a while, it's not going to be as effective. So if you do have a flare-up of a pain in your body or you have just injured yourself and you go for a non-steroidal drug like Motrin, then you're going to want to put it in your body and keep it at that level. Don't miss your dosings of it throughout the next 4 days or so. And if your doctor has then prescribed you anti-inflammatories, please take them that way, as prescribed. Don't just take them willy-nilly because they're not painkillers that can be just taken once here and once there.
Well, I know that in your column, you're talking about supplements, and, of course, a lot of people are interested in that. So what are some of your favorites, and what do they do?
Yeah, you know, I went this way, Neil, for myself. I have a stomach sensitivity to prescription strength anti-inflammatories, or even the over-the-counter ones. If I were to take them for 4 days in a row, my intestines would not be happy. And so I needed to start looking for things that were naturally occurring that wouldn't bother my stomach. And one of the things that is most commonly out there and is taken for joint pain is either glucosamine or chondroitin, or a combination of glucosamine chondroitin. And what those things are naturally occurring components of either the cartilage in your joints or the fluid that fills your joints. And so they are touted to increase water retention, which is a good thing for lubrication, or to just help your joints have a little bit more of a lubrication within them so that the bones and the cartilage don't wear against one another. Now, that said, there are a number of studies out there that will say everything from, well, we find a moderate improvement with glucosamine chondroitin, or we find absolutely no improvement. And so what I tell my patients is this, all of the studies show that you need to be on it for a good 3 months before you really know if it works for you. And there's absolutely no side effects to glucosamine or chondroitin or to take them together. It's a really safe thing to try out. And so since you don't know who you are and how your body's going to respond to something, it's certainly worth a three-month trial to see if you feel better, your joints feel better, whether it's a knee, whether it's hands, what have you, on those meds, on those supplements after about 3 months. So that's one of them.
Okay. You mentioned a couple others. We got a few minutes left. Let's just touch on those.
Okay. One that I love is bromelain. Bromelain is a substance that you can find in a vitamin shop somewhere in your neighborhood. And bromelain on the bottle will often say that it's a digestive supplement. It's an enzyme that's taken from pineapples. And what it does is it's a great anti-inflammatory. This really helped me with a foot issue that I was having. And it's something that can be taken safely. And hey, if it helps your digestive problems as well, that's even a double bang for your buck. But bromelain is a great natural supplement. It's even used or prescribed by oral and plastic surgeons before they do their surgeries because of its anti-inflammatory properties. So that's something I love. And let's see.
We've got two minutes, so we want to talk tart cherry juice?
Where I wanted to go, right. Neil. Tart cherry juice is such a great supplement. That's also, you can find that in your natural food section in your supermarket even these days. Tart cherry juice is a natural anti-inflammatory. It also is a natural source of melatonin, which is something that helps you to fall asleep and stay asleep. And because it's dark, dark red, it's chock full of antioxidants. So it's like a three-for-all, you know. And so it's a great product to take. If you cannot stomach anti-inflammatories, like I cannot stomach them, do not try tart cherry juice, because I started taking it and I thought, oh, this is a great thing. And after a week, my stomach was in an uproar and I thought, oh, okay, because this has a very similar effect as a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory.
So, an ounce isn't a lot, but if you have any stomach issues at all, don't take more than recommended.
Yeah, you know, and it's hard to find recommendations for exactly how much to take, but it's about an ounce of the tart cherry juice. You're going to want to dilute it in some water or sparkling soda in order just to take that tartness away. But at nighttime, I tell people take it a half an hour before bed because it also has that wonderful melatonin in it and it'll help you to sleep better as well.
Supplements that calm joint inflation. That was the Monday Health Minute from Lisa Marone. Lisa, if people want to sign up for that and get it on their own, we have you on every other Monday, but you send it out each week. So tell us where to find it.
Yeah. Yes, they can sign up at lisamarone.com. That's MORRONE.com. And on the top right-hand corner of the homepage, you can just put your email address and you can get these tips every Monday to your mailbox.
All right, get a Monday Health Moment with Lisa Marone, MORRONE, lisamarone.com. Lisa's physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, and encouraging us to get healthy, for heaven's sake, title of one of her great books. I always appreciate having her on today. Lisa, blessings. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You as well.
You've been listening to Connecting Faith. If you missed part of today's program, want to go back and hear more about blended families or maybe about some supplement information there, you can always find interviews posted online. Go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.